Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Today's guests are Evan and Wani. Wani works full-time as the director of strategic partnerships at Skechers, while Evan spends his days working as a top producing realtor in LA, multifamily asset manager, and owner of a virtual assistant staffing agency. He's got a few things going on there. They first met in 2019 over their passion for real estate and started their investing journey in five projects with full or partial ownership with over 120 units. Welcome to the show, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Gino. Good to see you. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
So, Wani, I want you to share the story of how you both met. And it was about real estate, wasn't it?
Yes. We met in 2019 through a mutual friend. This mutual friend was a big real estate investor. And I remember very distinctly that I wanted to go meet with him to grab coffee, to pick his brain, because I wanted to start my real estate journey on my own. My parents, my family are big real estate investors around the world. And so I knew that in order to build wealth, that I should start my journey as well. So I remember distinctly reaching out to him and he said, come over to this beach volleyball thing we're doing and then we'll grab coffee after and then we can talk about all things real estate. And that's where Evan showed up at the beach volleyball game. And he was a little bit late to the beach volleyball game, but we all went to grab lunch together as a group of friends. And I remember asking Evan, what do you do for work? And he pointed to my friend and said, I want to do what he's doing. And I said, oh my God, me too. So that's kind of how it started, how we met, and now we're married and, you know, been together for 5 years, and we started our multifamily real estate journey 2021, I believe, and Evan became a realtor in 2020 during COVID, so we both are very passionate about it, and we want to grow our life together and do more real estate deals together.
But Wani, what were you doing before real estate? What was your background? What were you doing before then?
Yeah, I was working at a talent agency and a creative agency. So I've been in the entertainment and sports industry for the last 8 to 9 years. Currently at Skechers, I've been there for about a little over a year now. I've always wanted to build a real estate portfolio on the side. I also teach tennis part-time too, so juggling a few things here, but we both like to keep busy. I want to grow in the corporate world as well, but be able to have an investment portfolio on the side. And I wanted to do that through real estate.
And Evan, what drew you to multifamily? Because I see you're an agent in LA. I mean, that's got to be a little bit of a grind. You've got a business. Why multifamily for you?
I wanted to be in real estate since I think I was in my 20s or early teens. You know, I Armando Montenegro or something like that was doing this flipping thing back in New York. And I went to this, you know, whatever they called it. They were trying to steal 35 grand from me. And, you know, but I just always wanted to be in it. I just never felt like I had the opportunity because I had a career and couldn't focus on it. And when I came out to California, I took some time off and just felt like the perfect opportunity. And multifamily just seems to make sense. You know, it's, we talk about it all the time. I mean, we actually, both of us were thinking about single family when we first wanted to get started. But the more we looked into it, the more we heard about it, the more multifamily seemed to make sense. You get more bang for your buck. You know, you take the same amount of time to close a deal, but now you have several units instead of just the one. So,
It's interesting, Evan, when you say that name, that Armando, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but real quick, he was one of the original gurus out there selling education. This is, you're talking like a long time ago. This is like early 2000s and he had the whole system going on. And I remember those.
I still have the DVDs somewhere, somewhere in here that, the whole system and setup. But yeah, I mean, I went to there, it was a free seminar, you know, and learned about flipping and that seemed like a great deal. And, you know, the holdback at that point was I didn't have a lot of money and it seemed like we needed a lot of money. And the way that they taught it was, we'll just drain your credit card for $35,000 and you can be a part of our system. And, you know, we'll teach you how to flip houses. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. But the reality is we learned through you guys and Jake and Gino and the network is you don't need a lot of money. You need maybe the right connections. You need the right partners. You need to be able to find money in creative ways. But, and that's sort of how we were able to get started.
So, Wani, I'm going to ask you both this question, but you first, you to Wani, what was some of the challenges or some of the thoughts that you had when you looked at multifamily? I mean, you're looking at single family, your family's already in real estate, but multifamily has these concepts or these ideas that people are like, I can't do that. Apartments, too big for me. Like Evan just said, need a lot of money, need a lot of experience. What was going through your mind when you guys finally decided multifamily and what was holding you back from taking a leap into multifamily?
Yeah, I think my family have done more of the traditional route of buy and hold single family. And so no one really had the background of multifamily. I think we didn't even know it was a possibility until we did further research on Bigger Pockets, Will Barrett Profits, and a couple of other podcasts and books that we read. I think the hesitancy is the mindset. I think initially we felt like it's just too intimidating, too many things to figure out when we are brand new to the space, let alone haven't really done single family buy and holds quite yet. So why should we jump right into doing multifamily if we haven't even, you know, done single family or flips or anything like that? But as we joined your program, I think it gave us more of that confidence and realization that we have the mentorship and the team around us to help support us to get us there. And it doesn't have to be as difficult as it seems outright. So I think it was really more of a mindset shift initially that was holding us back, feeling like it's too overwhelming to accomplish. But I think joining programs like your Jake and Gino really helped us kind of get there. And once we got our first deal, and then it started rolling and we got more and more confident that, okay, we can do this. We have the right team around us. And really, I think it's all about the teamwork and connections and obviously the mentorship through you guys.
And Evan, whose idea was it? Be honest with me. Whose idea was it to say, yeah, let's do this multifamily thing? Was it your idea? Was it Wania's idea? And like, did you guys support each other? Or it was Evan's idea. So he's strong arming you there a little bit. He's like, we got to do this.
It was, it was definitely my idea. I had went to a 6-day conference and Grant Cardone conference and came back from that. I actually called Wani in the middle of it and I said, we got to do multifamily, like forget the single family, we got to do multifamily. And she started reading up about it. By the time I got back from the 6-day conference, we were both sold on the idea of multifamily. We started trying to figure out how to do it ourselves. I think it was about a week or two that we tried to do that underwriting and trying to figure all this stuff out. And I was like, you know what, we'll probably get there, but it's not going to be in the timeline that we're hoping it will be. And we need some help. We need some mentorship. And we started looking into mentorship programs and we found Jake and Gino, obviously. And kind of steamrolled from there. It was like very quick. I mean, this was about August, I think, of 2021. By November of 2021, we had signed up for you. By December of 2021, we were already in our first deal. So it was just like, you know, bing, bang, boom. We didn't even hit the pause button. It was so fast.
What did your family say about you getting into multifamily? Did they think you're nuts or like, wait, that's not how we do it in the family. We do it this way.
You read my mind. I was just going to say, we had big, lofty goals. I think, just to back up a little bit, prior to us meeting, I had a big dream of becoming a professional tennis player. And that was like my single goal only. And when I left that career, I was kind of trying to figure out what would be my next purpose. And that's where Evan and I met. And that's where real estate became our next purpose in life and our goal to build wealth together. And we had huge, lofty goals of wanting to hit 1,000 units, wanting to do way more than that. And people would laugh at us, that's impossible. And I think my family were very supportive, but they didn't understand how we would go about it. They only knew one way of real estate, which is buying and renovating and selling it or keeping it and holding it, which has done really well for them. But I think we had more ambitious goals and we wanted to do that through multifamily. And I think that it just checked out in terms of the numbers, and Evan's the numbers guy. So we were both very excited when we started doing more of the research and realizing that we can get to our dreams and goals a lot quicker if we go down this path.
I want to stay there for a second because your whole life was dedicated to tennis. That was your identity. You identified as a tennis professional. How was it when you left that and went into corporate America?
It was tough. I think, you know, I ended up going to college in the States. I grew up in Singapore. I'm not from the US. And I traveled around the world competing and playing tennis. I lived out of a suitcase for 6 years, and that's all I knew was tennis. And I was very fortunate to have that experience and lifestyle. And, you know, at that time, it was a dream to play Serena Williams, play in the Grand Slams, but unfortunately, I wasn't good enough to do that. So I ended up taking a scholarship going to Boston College. And that's where, you know, trying to rediscover myself and what is my next move in terms of my career. I moved out to LA, wanted to work in the sports entertainment side and kind of get into corporate America in that sense. But I think it took me a while to kind of figure out what is my next big dream and goal and purpose. You know, I was kind of chugging along and learning new skills and building my network out here, which was great, but there was something missing. And I think that, you know, when I met Evan, that spark kind of reignited where, oh, wow, we could do something together as a team and get into real estate. And everything we do, you know, in our full-time careers is kind of helping us supplement our goals of building our real estate portfolio. And I think, you know, it was tough to transition from that career and that lifestyle, but I think I'm in a place that I'm really happy and excited about what we have and what we're building together. So I feel very, very lucky that I'm at this point now, because I think I would have been lost otherwise, or maybe struggling a little bit longer trying to figure out how to do the real estate game on my own.
That is awesome. I'm as you're saying this, you like the pizza guy or the drug rep or the tennis pro. We're all identify as something, and then something comes along and, you know, a next phase of our life comes and we're always looking for challenges. And I think you could sit there and say, I want the single family challenge. I did what my parents and my family's done. But to look and say, hey, you know what? Let me try something bigger. I want to aspire to be something bigger. And it's okay if you don't hit that aspiration of 1,000 units to 2,000 units. Just the idea of putting it there and challenging yourself. And I think the background of being in professional sports, always competing at a high level and always trying to get better and having that growth mindset probably served you really, really well. Now, Evan, when you joined Jake and Gino, your guys are in LA. I mean, it's a very difficult market. How did you overcome not in my backyard, not investing? What did you guys take from the education as far as buying criteria and, you know, looking at other markets to invest in?
Yeah, it wasn't an easy thing to do. First of all, you know, I think from the onset, we said we didn't want to buy in California and LA. I'm from New York originally, like you, Gino, and I always joke about it with people. I said the only two places I don't want to buy are the two places I've lived, in California and New York. You know, like, it's everywhere else we're open to the idea. And, you know, it just makes it, as a realtor during COVID, I saw what was happening to landlords with their inability to collect rent from tenants and their inability to actually, you know, kick the people out and evict them for non-payment during COVID. And so we just, you know, starting out at that point, we didn't want anything to do with that. So we knew right away we weren't going to really be focusing our investments in California. So we had to figure out and pick another market. And we, you know, selected several of them. Like we tried going different paths. Our first real focus was in Phoenix, in Arizona. And funny enough, when we first joined Jake and Gino, there were probably, I don't know, a good 10 or so other investors from Jake and Gino in California, in LA, who are also looking in Phoenix. And we sort of started a little accountability group with those people to like try to help find places in Phoenix. But it was just as competitive as it was out here in LA. It was not an easy market to break into. I don't know that any of those people actually found a deal in Phoenix. Maybe one or two, but it was just very hard for everybody. So we started reconsidering that. And, you know, I know that we were taught and spoke about being able to get to someplace in a day, you know, being able to just, you know, be able to go back and forth and check out properties and making it a quick trip, and also knowing your market. Like, we didn't really know any other areas outside of where we've lived. So getting to know those places is another big thing. But we had spent some time in Tulsa. We had spent some time in that area in Oklahoma, which we really liked. It's not an easy trip to get to, but, you know, we can hop on a plane and figure it out if we need to. And that just became our market. Like, we went back a few times. We have friends that live there. So we felt confident that we had the support in that area, even though we weren't there physically, to try to continue to build up, you know, a portfolio in that area. And as the years have gone on, we've just learned more and more about the area itself. So, you know.
Now, most people listening to this probably don't know Tulsa other than Tulsa King and Sylvester Stallone's show on, I think it's on Amazon Prime. Phenomenal show. Season one was awesome. If you haven't watched it, you got to watch it. But for anyone not in real estate, I understand Tulsa. I understand Oklahoma. I think there's some great markets. You know, what made you excited about the Tulsa market? It's, for me, it's one of those markets that's under the radar. You don't really know. It's Midwest. Why would you want to invest there? But when I heard you say Tulsa, it's like, game on. Jake and Gino taught you well, my friend.
Yeah. No, it's a great market. First of all, you know, the first time we went there, we both just fell in love with the city. Like, we had never been there before, and we would think the same thing that you just said, that everybody else probably thought, like, why would you ever want to go to Tulsa? Why would you ever want to live? But it happens to be a beautiful city, great place to live, friendliest people. And it's, you know, slowly becoming, I think they call it like the new Austin, you know, like it's building up where there's a lot of companies that are coming in there, and you know, the demand to live in Tulsa is becoming higher. They're cleaning up a lot of the city as well, and making it more attractive. They started implementing, Oklahoma in general, but started implementing what's the thing, like an incentive for people to come and live there, that they get like $10,000 if they stay there for a year or something like that, which actually one of our friends has taken advantage of coming from California. And, you know, similarly, we also learned about the Northwest Arkansas market, and we were like, Arkansas, who wants to live in Arkansas? But I mean, that's a huge booming area as well. And you know, you got four main cities in that Northwest area that are derivatives of Walmart and where Walmart started. And it's just it's a really spectacular, both of those cities are really spectacular areas to live in. And like you said, it's sort of under the radar. So they are becoming more popular. They are becoming more well known about. The prices are starting to go up. The competition is starting to go up. But, you know, when we were there and we started looking at it, it seemed to make a little bit more sense and was a little bit more reasonable and feasible to break into that market as investors.
I think we joked that, you know, our first deal that we got into was a 25 unit for $1 million, and $1 million in LA can only get you a bathroom. So it's definitely more price friendly out there.
I love that. Yeah. You know, one is, people are listening to this, they might be saying to themselves, well, she's a tennis pro. She's lived all over the world. She's in corporate. She's so busy. She can do multiple things. I'd like you to speak to someone who's got a W-2 job and maybe having those limiting beliefs about not having enough time or not having enough money or not having enough experience. How did you overcome those? And what I love about it is you have goals. You really have goals. You really have them set. They're crystallized. You know what your why is. You know what you want to accomplish. Speak to that person that may be saying to themselves, she can do it, but I can't.
I think anyone can do it, honestly. I think anyone can find the time to do it if you really want to do it. You know, I get up early, get my workout in, you know, get my 9-to-5 job done and do it really well. And then in the evening, if, you know, we're together and that's where we brainstorm together, or we look at deals together. And on the weekends, we're working too. You know, we're always hustling. I think it's a mindset, to your point, Gino. It's if you have that why and you have that motivation behind it, it's not that difficult. You just have to be able to compartmentalize your life and really have a good way about planning things. I think, you know, both of us have very filled calendars, but we block things out for real estate, for tennis, for our work, our W-2 job. So that way we stick to the plan and to the calendars so that we can keep, you know, in check every day. And then we also, as a couple, we have, you know, monthly or bi-monthly sit downs together to discuss our goals so that we can keep each other accountable. So I think it comes down to motivation, the why, holding yourself accountable, maybe having someone else in your life to hold yourself accountable to. But yeah, setting those goals and then sticking to it and taking the action to execute it. You know, it's one thing to say we want to do something, but it really comes down to taking the action. I think that's what, you know, as a couple, when we have those planning goals together, and, you know, we just did it again for the New Year's over the holiday break. We sat down, we had a whiteboard, mapped out our vision of what we want this year to look like and what we want the next 5 years to look like. And we worked backwards. We worked out the numbers. We worked out, you know, in our personal life, as well as our professional and real estate goals. They all kind of have to piece together to make everything work. So there's a lot to answer in that question, but I think at the end of the day, it's possible as long as you have the right mindset to go about it.
And I want to give a big shout out to Mike Mo, because on the last podcast of Movers and Shakers, he said, dig a well before you get thirsty. And to me, that's what it seems exactly like what you're doing. You don't really have to do a multifamily. You guys are both doing really well in your careers. You're making enough money, but you see one day you may not want to do the corporate grind. You may want to start your own business, a multifamily. And I love that, about that proactivity and saying, I want to be proactive. I want it to start now. And it may take me 3, 4, 5 years. And it's okay if it doesn't happen because I'm still doing this here, but I want to plan for the future. And I love that. Evan, you didn't have to do this. You're in the corporate. What is your vision? I mean, ultimately, next 5 to 10 years, do you want to get into multifamily full time? Do you want to continue to buy outside the market? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, it sort of plays onto what you were talking about with money, is that like that our vision is based on what our plans are together as a couple and as a family and what we want to be doing. And, you know, our why, as we talk about, is Wani's family, her parents and family still live in Asia. Wani has been traveling the world basically her entire life, has left home since she was 11. And, you know, it's been a long time that's, you know, for her not to have lived near and close to her family. So the why for us is really, you know, I've lived near my family pretty much my whole life. So for us, our why is to go back to where she's from, where, you know, go back to Asia and move over there. And, you know, we want to build up a career, as well as, you know, a bit of a nest egg or, you know, some, support here, but that way we can go to live in Asia and work from there. So, you know, our, I guess, 2030 goal is to try to move over to, back to either Singapore or Hong Kong, somewhere over there. Invite you to come spend time as often as you want to come and visit. But, you know, reality is that we want to do things virtually here. So I'd like to build up more of a portfolio. We didn't plan on it, but we found a great resource for virtual assistants in Belize. After I tried several times to hire other virtual assistants from other resources and didn't work out, and we found this resource. And so born out of that was another company that we can do virtually. And so we'd like to continue to grow that too. So, you know, we love real estate. We want to keep that flowing and we want to keep that growing. But we're open to new ideas and new opportunities as well. But I don't think I'll be able to be a realtor once I move to Singapore. I'm not going to have as much of a stake in being a realtor out here in LA after that. So.
That's awesome. So you're buy right, manage right, finance right, a business as well, which is really, really cool. And that's what it is. The framework, what I think multifamily, what people don't understand is multifamily is just a business. If you view it as just an investment, you miss out on all the benefits because then you start looking at every opportunity as a business. Oh, wow, this is scalable. Virtual assistants, scalable. You want to start, you know, any kind of brand. Things start changing. And I think that's the great thing about multifamily, whereas sometimes single family, people think of it as more transactional, one here, one there. They don't see the bigger picture. Whereas multifamily, you can have different assets, different markets, different property management companies. You know, I want you both to answer this question before we sign off, because this is important. If you're starting back out again, and if I'm listening to this right now and I'm struggling and I want to get into multifamily, what are one or two things that I need to do to get into multifamily?
You want to take it, Jeff?
Oh, okay. I think that the first thing that anybody needs to do is education. I think that they need to really, you know, learn what you're getting into. First of all, to make sure it's the right fit for you. You know, it's not going to be the right fit for everybody. Not everything is. So make sure that it's the right fit. Understand what the typical pathways are, but also what the, you know, potential pitfalls could be. And really just, you know, soak up as much information as possible. I know a lot of people always talk about, you know, try to find a mentor, and learn from somebody. That's a great way to go about it as well, but it's not easy to find, you know, I tried that as well, like going up to somebody and, you know, offering to help them and they're already set. You know, a lot of people that they've been doing it for a while, they don't really need the extra help and it takes up a lot of their time. So it's not an easy thing, but education I think is the biggest, most important thing. And then potentially finding a partner that you can trust. And it's not just somebody that has similar interests in you, but it's somebody that you understand that, you know, what their track record is and do a little digging on them. Like, you know, that's, I think one of the, from what we've experienced ourselves and also from what we've heard from other people, you don't want to get into business with people who are going to, you know, potentially destroy you. And so, you know, doing a full due diligence, vetting them and understanding exactly who they are, even if you've known them for 10 years, if you don't know them that well, you really have to know who they are, what kind of business person they are, what's their track record and things like that. And if you can understand what you're doing and you have a good support system, then I think then you can go pretty far and you continue to learn, you continue to grow that network. And that's really what this, in my opinion, that's what this industry is about. It's just about growing your network. You expand your reach by doing that. You expand the potential opportunities for you to purchase properties by doing that. And as you continue to grow, you're going to be learning more all the time. So education and network is, I think, the two biggest factors in this industry.
And my answer is simple. Join the Jake and Gino program. I've referred a few friends who have joined. I think it's just helped us expedite the learning curve. And we saw the value immediately upon joining. Like Evan said, we had our first deal within a month of joining the program. I think the mentorship is so important, having the right coach and team around you, because multifamily is a team sport. And we learned that from joining this program. I think we thought we could do it on our own, which we probably could, but it would be a lot of headaches along the way and probably a lot longer to achieve our goals. And I think joining this mastermind program just really helped us kind of speed up that learning curve and get into our first deal. And then, like Evan said, it steamrolled from there.
Yeah. And that just hits home on those two points as well. Like, you guys are all about education and networking. I mean, like, those are the two biggest, most crucial and beneficial things that happened to us when we joined your program, is the network and the information, the education. So, you know, it hammers on those same two points, I think, too.
It's very interesting because I can make the correlation between Wani being a professional tennis player and having a coach, and she could watch all the videos that she wants, and it's education. But you also need the implementation. How are you hitting your forehand? Are you following through? Is your footwork really well? Should you, you know, there's so many different aspects to it. I'm singing right now. Give you an example. I'm singing opera. Every week I go to my singing coach, and he'll make one little minor tweak. He'll tell me to drop a vowel. And all of a sudden, I couldn't hit a B flat yesterday. But when I'm in the studio, I can hit a B flat. Why is that? It's because somebody's there who's done it, who's showing me not only to watch the video, but actually able to implement the information. And that is what is, mm-hmm. I think, separates the average person from wanting to do something, because we all want to educate ourselves. And it's really, really important. I've educated myself on a lot of things. But if when I have somebody there to help me with the implementation, to actually show me how to do it, it helps me so much more. And I think people say to themselves, well, I can do it by myself. You can do it by yourself, but it's going to take a lot longer. You're going to make a lot more mistakes. And mentorships are great in certain situations, but a true mentor is somebody who's going to take you under their wing and is going to guide you the whole way. And it's very difficult for a lot of people to do that. And then the mentee at times doesn't really respect that relationship because they're not paying for it. They're like, I'm getting it for free. Do I have to really put in the time? And sometimes when we don't have skin in the game, whether it's a real estate deal or whether it's a relationship, do we put in our effort to it? So just always think about that. Those are, I think, some really, really important points. Now, listeners, where can the listeners get a hold of you guys?
Oh, yeah. Several places. First of all, email, probably the easiest, 18keysllc@gmail.com. So that's 18keysllc@gmail.com. If any of the listeners, you know, a lot of realtors and investors out there need a virtual assistant, you want somebody, you've tried other resources, that's our niche. Like, you've tried it before, you can figure it out, couldn't get it. You need a va.biz is our website. You can get a hold of us there. And my cell phone, I'll always give that out because I'm a realtor, so I have no choice. But 818-600-6020 is the realtor, Evan. So, yeah, just a lot of different options there to reach out. But if you can't find us, go back to Gino and ask him, and he'll put you in touch.
Yeah, just Gino@jakeandgino.com. And really, I want to give you guys a lot of credit, because if you look back at your journey and you would have said 5 or 6 or 10 years ago, I'm going to get into multifamily real estate, people would have thought, you're nuts. There's no way I'm going to get into that. And then I'll take it one step further. You've got a VA business right now. Like, where did that come from? I think it's not just where we look at things and we say we're successful or we've gotten to where we are. It's just constant growth. It's taking one day at a time, one year at a time, then the next year, and you learn something here and you're able to adopt it somewhere else in your life. And I love the fact that you guys are both really super successful in the corporate world. Evan, you're out there being a realtor in LA, but you're not just stopping there. You're understanding that money is great. Let's make that money, but let's put it somewhere else to be able to work for it. Because working hard for your money is one thing, but is your money working hard for you? Nowadays, your money needs to start working hard for you and not just you working hard for your money. So I want to thank you both for being on. Evan, give me the website again for the VA company.
You need a va.biz. So youneedava.biz. You need a va.biz.
I couldn't remember that. I don't know why. I was thinking about tennis. I'm like, wait, you need a va.biz, man. That is great. Listen, I want to thank you both for being on. This has been an awesome show. And, you know, for anybody out there, reach out to Evan. If you want to hear how to get into the business, reach out to Evan and Wani, because at times you may feel like they can do it, but I can't. And for them, two things that stood out for me, they plan their life. It doesn't happen to them. They've got goals. They're already looking at the year 2030. And then, you know, when the time comes and it's 2030 and they have moved, people are going to be like, oh, well, it was just lucky. Things don't happen in life. If you don't plan, it's proper planning prevents poor performance. And I think if you're able to set clear goals and you're consistent with your actions and you revisit them and you're on the same page with your business partner or your spouse, I mean, things can really just propel in life. So I want to thank you both for being on. And listen, I want to thank you for listening, spending part of your day with Jake and Gino Community, with Evan and Wan Yi, and we will see you on the next Movers and Shakers. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks,
Gino.